very pleased to bring in one of the new Hall of Famers, and deservedly so, Jay Wright. Jay, first of all, from all of us to you, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Cool to be on with you, Matt. I listen to you on Saturday afternoons, man. Good to hear that voice.
I appreciate that very much, Jay. And you know, between Jack Ham on football Saturdays and Dick Girardi on basketball, I've got it made. All right, so
I don't get to listen to you during basketball season. I can't be a Penn State basketball fan.
Sometimes I understand that. I do understand. Jay, when you got the call, what ran through your mind?
It was, first, I got the call from Jerry Colangelo, who I worked with on USA Basketball. You know, we got the Olympic team this summer, and it was emotional because he, and I think it was for him, you know, because we've worked a lot together, and you know, he deals with all the Hall of Famers, so I think me kind of looked at it as like a little bit of a more personal touch, you know, and so it was pretty cool. Even though you know you're going to get the call and it's going to go one way or the other, you know, they tell you we're going to call between 12 and 2. He called 11:59, and you're kind of waiting. Right, give it to me one way or the other here. This is over with. And it's emotional. It really is. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. You come out of Bucks County. You go to Bucknell. What did the Bucknell experience mean to you, Jay?
Oh man, everything. I was at, you know, Bucks County, Northeast Philly. My family's from Northeast Philly. Like, I never left that area. I didn't know anything about anything. I never left Philly ever. So I came up to Bucknell thinking, all right, it's a suburb of some. I thought everywhere was a suburb of every major city. So I thought, like, I'm at Bucknell, and it's, you know, that suburb of Harrisburg, or you know, a suburb of Williamsport, and we just leave campus and go into Harrisburg, go into Williamsport. I didn't know. I was so naive, and no one in my family had gone to college, and I also found just highly, highly motivated academic people. Like, I was a good student, but I didn't really work at it. But I find these people that are so highly motivated. And then basketball-wise, Pat Flannery was the point guard at the time, the senior starting point guard when I was a freshman, and he was great to me, took me under his wing, but on the court would kill me. Just kill me as a freshman. We would fight all the time. He would make 9 great plays in a row. If I made 1 good play out of 10 and made him look bad, he'd cheap shot me on the next play just to send a message. I'd be like, man, just give me 1 play here. And he was the most competitive guy, and I learned so much from him. And Coach Woolham was great. And George Petrie, who wound up coaching at Gettysburg for a long time as the assistant, learned so much from those guys. I mean, I was just a kid from outside Philly that knew nothing about the world at all, and then got to Bucknell and got the world opened up to me.
It's so cool when you're around great guys like that. I mean, it really is. It means a lot. Is there anything that you heard from Charlie Woolham or did with Charlie Woolham on a basketball court that even today is still within you?
Oh, definitely. A lot of our offensive philosophy. He was a genius offensive coach in giving players incredible confidence in freedom, and players thinking that they had incredible freedom and confidence. But in reality, he had them disciplined in positions where there really wasn't a lot of decisions they had to make, and they were playing off of habits, and they were confident and fundamentally sound at the habits he put you in. He ran what's called a numbered fast break, where you ran to spots and positions and on every possession, and you drilled it. So when you were playing, you weren't really thinking. It was just habitual. I also remember, as an offensive player, just having the confidence that he's got your back, man. If you're taking the shots that we work on in practice, whether they're going in or not, he's got your back. And I try to do that a lot with our players to this day.
It's interesting because we talked about what I do, because I've probably announced almost 1,200 games in my career basketball-wise, but I've only done one where you were the coach, and that was your last season at Hofstra, and that was in the ECAC Holiday Festival.
Wow, that's right. Penn State beat us in that game. That's right.
Oh, you launched a three from 35 feet, man, and it almost went in.
Yep. Penn State went to the Sweet 16 that year, right?
They did. They did. Yep. And you made the tournament. You made the tournament for a second straight year.
Yep. If we would have won that game, there was some record, like we would have been the first team ever to win three or four consecutive Holiday Festival tournaments. I can't remember if it was three. And that was such a tight game and such a great game. And we were so close, man. But that you found out later in the season, you know, that was – we did that right around Christmas back then, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Then you watch that Penn State team over the year and you realize, damn, like wish we would have had somebody else to play against. That's a really good team.
but you didn't know it at the beginning
of the year. I mean, you knew they were good, but you didn't know how good.
Yeah, but Mike, the question is that was your last season at Hofstra, but I think people forget that you spent seven seasons at Hofstra. You don't, but you did.
Yeah.
So what did that do to help form you as a head coach? It's one thing to be an assistant, but what did those 7 years at Hofstra do to form you as a head coach?
Well, that's the real point of it, Steve. As you said, like you can be an assistant coach all your life and you think you know what you're doing. You got to be on the sidelines, having to make the decisions, having to answer for everything, having to look your players in the eye after losses and bring them back the next day. You got to do that first. And Dr. Schubert was the president. Jim Garvey was the AD who hired me, but Harry Royal was the AD for a while. They were patient with me. Our first 3 years, we did not win, and I was just finding my way as a head coach. I was trying to pretend like I knew what I was doing, but I was really scrambling and trying to figure it out. And it's so funny. It's going into our fourth year, our assistant coach Tom Pecora, who went on to be the head coach at Fordham and Hofstra and Fordham, he was a great New York guy, and I was so naive. And we went to meet a recruit, and the mom said at the end of the talk, at the visit, "Well, coach, I hear if you guys don't win this year, you're going to be fired, so you might not be there when my son gets there." And I was like, "Nah, we're fine. They love us. We're building the program." And we walked outside. Tom said, "I said, how about her asking that question?" Tom said, "What do you mean? She's right. We're getting fired if we don't win. Do you know that?" And I was like, "Nah, we won't." I was so naive, you know. He was right, but I didn't know it. And we had a decent year our fourth year, but they were really patient with us. And it didn't really. It was our fifth, sixth, seventh year that we won and really got it going.
You know, obviously, championship teams are always going to be beloved and bring with them obviously great memories and great moments. But in the building process, when you're trying to establish a culture at Villanova, was there a group that you bought in that got it and really kind of sent your culture on the way you needed it to go?
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. Definitely. We remind the guys, even the guys at Hofstra. There was a group at Hofstra, same thing, that didn't get to stick around when we went to won championships and got to the NCAA tournament. You know, those guys laid the foundation, and we talk about the stone cutter, and that you're tapping at the rock, a thousand times, and it might be that thousand and first blow that the rock breaks, but it was really all the taps that came before. And every time we win a championship, we remind our players that it was, the taps that came before were a lot of guys that aren't here that built this, And at Hofstra, we had some of those guys with James Schaefer and Darius Burton, people don't know about, but they started it, you know. And at Villanova, it was our first recruiting class. Randy Foy and Alan Ray and those guys came in when it really wasn't. It really wasn't cool to come to Villanova at that point, and they did, and they trusted us, and there was a point, you know, in their junior year, the beginning of their junior year, we beat Oklahoma at our place, and they, I think they realized, like, okay, this stuff works, man, and they were the building blocks, and we referenced them, you know, anytime we win, and they stay connected, as all Villanova guys do. You can look back to the rich history of Villanova, like Penn State football. Those guys all, before I got there, those guys all come back from back to Paul Arizin and Wally Jones and Bill Melchione and all those guys. They all come back and we play for them.
You really always appreciate trying to develop a complete player. You've also played a lot of guards over time, but you've had some guards that have had the ability in being complete players that have become really terrific post-up players. What do you see in a guy, Jay, that tells you that they have the ability to do that where the tough points come, or maybe a free throw will come out of it?
Yeah, Steve, it's not your size. It's just a matter of looking at a guy and his toughness and seeing, you know, based on the defender that they're going to put on him, is he tough enough, you know, to take that guy inside and be physical and play like a big guy and get to the foul line and create contact and be strong and make the right decisions if you get double teamed. You know, we try not to look at what your size is, just what your toughness level and what your ability to score in there based on who the opponent's going to put on you defensively. And we have been blessed with some great ones over the years. And I'd have to say Ryan Arcidiacono probably started that and taught us that. He started kind of doing that on his own and showed us that could work. And then we always looked for that in other guys.
Well, from me to you, the game's been much better because you've been in it, and you richly deserve the honor you're going to get. And enshrinement will be incredible. Thanks so much for everything you've done for the game and what you continue to do for the game, because Jay Wright is great for the game. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. Great talking to you, buddy. Love hearing you on Saturdays, man.
Hey, thanks so much. That means a lot to me, Jay. Thank you.
See you, buddy.